This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. We'll continue with your Knicks calls. We're going to work in some Yankee talk here, BT. The Yanks are in the World Series. By the way, we have World Series tickets to give away.
Oh, we do. We're hooking it up. All the shows.
On Friday,
all the shows. Boomer and Geo into us, into the afternoon show. We're getting you to game three.
You got to be in the building. Think about how rare it is. 15 years, like those are things. It's hard to do. I know a lot of people can't afford it. I couldn't afford it. $1,000, whatever it is, a ticket. But you can't afford to listen to the station. Doesn't cost you anything.
That's true.
The free Odyssey app. And you have your chance to win World Series tickets throughout the course of the day. So for me, I know I'm locked in no matter what to be able to try to win those tickets.
You also realize that you are four wins away from being in the middle of a massive Yankee hysteria doing our show on the steps of City Hall. I just needed to make you aware of that.
I'm glad you brought that up because that is one thing I was thinking about yesterday. I don't think I could do that show.
Well, I don't know if the boss is going to be okay with that, buddy.
Dude,
I might want to figure this out.
I was thinking this.
You're going to be here?
Because I'm thinking it through like, all right, well, if they win, like, all right, they win. Good for them. Like, it hasn't happened in 15 years. Be good for the station. Like, happy for BT and Yankee fans. You know, it's been a long time. In 99, you know, 98, 99, 2000, you didn't need all of those.
No, we did.
You didn't have to go to the World Series every single time.
We needed them.
Like, it would have been nice to give little brother one in 2000.
Well, we did. We just didn't let you win.
Yeah, but now it's been so long that, like, I don't even know if I really care the way that I once did. But I did. I've never been to a parade. Either my parents didn't let me go or I couldn't go. The logistics of it for the Rangers in 94.
Mm-hmm.
I was only in junior high school anyway. But I mean, a lot of my friends went like 14. It just wasn't my thing.
Wait, you didn't go to the parade with Iglesias and the guys at Citi Field yesterday?
See, this is why.
Hey, Seven Line, how's that coming along?
You guys coordinate that yet?
I'm just messing around. Go ahead.
Yeah, everybody took that out of context.
I'm just playing. It was out of context. Yeah, but you know what? Right. They take some of our stuff out of context as well, so deal with it.
Well, I mean, of course they do. But whatever, I don't care.
Me neither.
And by the way, my thing about the Mets stuff yesterday had nothing to do with that tweet. Like, I thought about this the day before.
I know.
Anyway.
That was a big theme on the station, though,
yesterday. I don't know if I could go through with that. I don't want my first parade ever to be the Yankees parade. I don't want to do that. Are we really going to do a show there for that?
Yeah.
Are you sure that I
was there in 09 and I with a different station and I saw Chernoff and I saw Joe and I saw Evan.
So like Boomer and Geo, us and everybody, Evan and Tiki, everybody's going to be out there?
I don't know if the afternoon show would be out there. I mean, I don't want to turn into program director now, but by the time it ends, I don't know. And when, let me see. I don't. It's close. I mean, that's up to Ryan and Chris Alvaro, not you. If they tell us to go, you got to go. You got to report for duty, my man.
So now I am.
You know what you should do?
Now I am rooting for the Dodgers.
You wear a Mets sweatshirt. I would have so much respect if you go to the parade and you wear a Mets jersey, the one that your mom got you.
My Lindor hoodie.
Yep.
I can't do
Why
that.
Why not?
That's embarrassing, dude.
No, it's not.
Come on.
Dude, that's legendary.
That's legendary. Show up to a Yankee parade with my loser Mets hoodie on?
I think that's pretty legendary. I mean, listen, because you and I both know that you can't not go because we are employees and, you know.
Well, they say go, you got to do it.
You got to do it. You got to go. We don't own the company.
I could get sick.
Well, like Evan?
Other people have been missing shows.
So 9,000 podcasts here. I mean, of course, you know, obviously. I heard he was really jacked up. So,
all right, so
hopefully he's feeling better. You're going to go. And by the way, you're going to love it. I know you love it more if it's the Mets, but it's New York, and it's sports fans, and it's all the fan listeners. It really is incredible to be out there. Are we still going to have a mayor by then?
Yeah,
is he going to be out there?
I mean. All right. So Brian Cashman was on with Doggy yesterday, I guess. Was it his High Heat show?
Yes, I believe it was TV.
Okay, it was TV. Yes. So it was MLB Network High Heat show. Listen to...
Doggy mess something up?
Now, listen to what Brian Cashman had to say talking to Dog.
That's number one. Number two, 15 years is a long time. I know this is a crapshoot, but even for the Yankees, that's a little long. Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year. I don't want to say drought. That's not fair, but you understand what I'm saying with a gap. How about winning the pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot, and I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't – it completely forgets and discounts that that some other organization cheated us when we were – all the way in the end, you know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history. But regardless, we're proud to be where we are now.
I mean, dude.
Still hanging on to that cash, huh?
Let it go.
Yeah.
And by the way, there are no guarantees that you – Like, what are we doing here? Let it go. You're in the World Series. You hate the 15-year thing. It's been 15 years. It has been 15 years. Well, the other teams cheated. Give me every year? I mean, every year for the last 15 years, teams have cheated?
Okay, think about this. I mean, if you're the Orioles general manager and you're asked that question, you can't reference Carrasco in right field with Jeffrey Mayer?
100%.
If you are, say...
How about the Mauer ball in left field in 2009? Twins and Yankees in the DS. I was at that game.
You were there?
With C-Mac, actually. Mike gave us tickets.
Oh, nice.
Me and C-Mac went. Great seats.
Really?
Yeah. Seeing A-Rod.
Checking out the Yanks, huh?
I mean, it's all we had in 2009.
You know, I understand why that bothers Cashman because, I mean, I can't say that he's wrong, but he's got to stop reaching for that because, number one, right now, it's immaterial. I mean, and you know, he's known Doggy forever, so he's not going to shut down Doggy. He's going to play ball. He's going to have fun with the interview. But he obviously wanted to get that off his chest, and I respect him for doing that. But now that's got to end. Like, I don't want that to be a narrative. You know, he'll do some more interviews, hopefully one on this show. We had him on a few months ago. Hopefully we get him back before Friday. And I don't want to hear that. You know why? Because he was trotting, and the entire organization, they went out and they gave a boatload of money to Jason Giambi, who helped get them to the World Series in 2003. And now the Marlins won that World Series, but you tell me Giambi wasn't hopped up on everything that year?
Yeah.
He was.
Are the Marlins complaining about cheaters?
No, well, they won. That means, you know, they found a way around it. But I think that era was so littered with cheating, whether it's Manny Ramirez, whether it's Big Poppy being on the Mitch Report, whether it's A-Rod in 09 and other years. And
that's a great point,
Roger
too.
Clemens.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, the biggest steroid fraud there is. I mean, outside of Barry Bonds, I guess, with A-Rod in 09. By the way, how about 2000? What, are the Mets complaining that the Yankees had Roger Clemens on their team? Not to mention Andy Pettit. But they had Roger Clemens. Are we going to give that one back, Cash? Because you cheated. You had Roger Clemens, a steroid cheat. Without Roger Clemens, the Yankees beating the Mets in the World Series? Come on.
Well, a lot of people thought Piazza might have been dabbling as well. No evidence, so we have to be responsible here. But a lot of people thought Mike was doing the same thing.
Oh, Mike is in the Hall of Fame. Roger isn't.
That's true. I'm not looking to defend Clemens.
I know what you're saying.
He did what he did.
You're right. Like, we don't know, which is why we can't say definitively.
Nope.
But he also shouldn't then say, and I know it's a different type of cheating, but cheating. Come on.
What do you think is worse? If you're a manager or a player, I mean, I know my answer and it's simple. Would you rather have the playing field distorted a bit with additional strength and, in terms of consuming non-normal things for the body?
I think
or technological stuff?
Yeah, I think what the Strohs did.
Me too. It's much more, it's a devious, more calculated, there's more layers to it. Because if you inject a needle or swallow a pill, you ingest something, there's really one checkpoint. You do it, okay? Well, first there's the moral question, should I? And then you find the dealer, and then you do it. So I guess it's really three things. But to cheat that elaborately... I see why it bothers Cashman. I get it. Because everybody was taking steroids. Every team had not every player, but every team had steroid players and HGH and PED players. Not every team was doing that. That's a deep way of going after it.
Here's the
but
thing,
I don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, it's not relevant.
Not now.
Well, I guess he's bothered because a lot of people criticize him and his job because of the 15 years, and he thinks it would have been different. By the way, like, the Yankees weren't even built to get to a World Series in 2017. They had a great run that somehow got them to that point, Game 7 of the ALCS. So I wouldn't say, like, oh, well, we were in the midst of a run. You want to say the Red Sox cheated in 18, too? Or you want to say 19? I mean, you know, you did get to Game 7 against those cheaters. What, you couldn't have won the game anyway? Like, the Astros were beat outside of that, you know, as well along the way. So it's not like it was automatic. Also, I just feel like it's sour grapes at this particular point. Let it go. You're there now.
Yeah.
You don't need to be saying that today.
Pardon me. So I think that's something, you know, in a book you write about, or when you do a long-form interview, when it's all said and done. And I know, listen, I'm going to defend Brian here. He was asked the question. He didn't come to the table armed with
he wasn't
exactly asked the question directly about the cheating.
It's been 15 years, been a long time.
Yeah, the drought. Or the gap. I mean, doggy, don't get soft. You can call it a drought.
Yeah.
I won't call it a drought, Brian, but a gap. It's the same thing, first of all. So, yeah, you don't have to dance. Just ask the question there, doggy. Listen, he didn't build the first championship team. That was Bob Watson and Stick Michael. All right, there was, and when he took over as general manager in 98 after Bob Watson quit, and he got a one-year $300,000 deal, Cashman approved himself, and it worked out. And then they lost and then they won it the next couple, like that. He was riding he didn't do other roster tinkerings. He did. He was riding the wave of what Watson and really Stick established. The 09 championship was all his. He's had a lot of chances to get them back. And it's been a while, and they didn't get back because every time they were bounced, somebody was cheating.
And now maybe there will be another parade. Jimmy in Manalapan. What's up, Jimmy?
Good morning, gentlemen. I love your show. You cannot wear your Met jersey to the Yankee parade. I am a Red Sox fan, and I'm telling you, that would be so douchey.
Yeah, you can't do that. I'm with you, Jimmy, and thank you for the call.
Are you?
That was BT's idea.
Well, you didn't want to go. I mean, at least you show up.
Can't show up and wear Mets stuff.
But you can't not show up. So what's more painful, showing up and not wearing them, and just showing up and just wearing, you know, a hoodie, like a Knicks hoodie, which I guess you could do, or first of all, you have to show up, so that's not an option. But to me,
if the show was there,
I think it's going to be. I'm going to text Hurley during the break, get the real answer here.
Obviously, if the bosses say do something, then generally I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I don't want
to
do that.
But don't you still have to protect the brand a little bit there?
Yeah, I don't want to go to the Yankee parade.
But you have to, because we're employees, and in front of 1.9 million people, Sal, you know, going viral wearing a Mets hoodie is pretty badass, dude.
No.
It's pretty badass.
Here's why I wouldn't do it. Because if I were a Yankee fan and I saw some knucklehead in a Mets hoodie or jersey during the Yankee parade, I'd be like, look at this idiot. What a loser. So I can't be that person. I wouldn't blame Yankee fans for hating me or anybody who wore Mets stuff to the Yankee parade.
I think it would garner you additional respect. I think you're misinterpreting how I'm presenting it. I'm not saying it so that you can be the foil. I think it's like, Sal talks the talk. And look at him. He's showing up in front of 2 million people. He's walking the walk. He's got his Lindor hoodie that mommy got him.
All right.
I mean, I didn't mean to lie. I said Bobby, but I'm messing around. I love you, Bobby. By the way, she loves me.
I know. Yeah, she texts me all the time. I'm like, Mom, leave me alone. I'm like, oh, BT, tell him be careful now.
Whatever. She knows what I have to put up with you. She knows. She knows. So that's why she likes me. She's like, Saint BT.
Margaret is in Yonkers. What's up, Margaret?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I have been a Yankee fan forever.
First year. What was it, Margaret? When did you join the championship army? What year?
Well, I think I was probably 5 or 6. My dad watched, and I watched with him and forever after, and I still watch, and all my children watch.
That's beautiful.
And everybody's a Yankee fan.
Do you think Ohtani is as good as Babe Ruth?
The answer's no, Margaret.
So.
Margaret has a good reference point. How far back do you go, Margaret?
I didn't see Babe Ruth play.
Oh, how far back do you go?
No, I didn't see Babe Ruth, but I saw everybody in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
That's close. 80s. All right. There you go.
That's a good year, Margaret.
I was at all of the championship games in the 90s and to the 2001. I was there. I worked for a sporting goods company, and they took everybody to the games.
Wow.
It was electric.
So, incredible. So how are we feeling about this year, Margaret?
She's ready.
I'm ready, but I'm not as hopeful as I was then.
Whoa.
I'm not as certain. Mm. I'm not as certain.
Well, you're a realist.
I got to be honest.
Yes.
All right, well, talk to my partner for a second.
Margaret, I'm kind of with you. I wouldn't use the word worried, and thanks for the call, Margaret. That's awesome. God bless you. I'm definitely not counting anything before we get it. This is going to be tough.
You're talking about a show from the parade.
Very tough. That's true. That's right. I'm already out there. Now I'm saying it's tough. I mean, if they win. Yeah. I think this is going to be tough. This is going to be very tough. I can go either. I mean, I know where the heart's going.
I'll be honest with you,
too. It'll be a tough matchup, dude. I don't know where Garrett Cole is. I can make cases both ways.
Now, I'm going to stick to what I believed, and I believe that the National League was better and that they will beat the Yankees. We get more into detail, tomorrow and Friday as well, but I am now more open to the idea of the Yankees winning the series. I really do think the Yankees are going to hit. If they don't win, it's not going to be because the bats didn't perform. I think the Yankees will score. So to me, it's going to come down to if Cole, Rodon, Holmes, Weaver, maybe some others, do their job.
Yep.
You got to keep the Dodgers at least under some kind of control. The Mets were not able to do that. You saw.
Yeah.
The Yankees should have better pitching lined up than the Mets did. Mets ran, I guess, whatever it may say. The Yankees' bullpen is significantly better than the Mets. That should help. But if the Yankees are to lose this World Series, I believe it's going to be because their pitchers didn't get the job done.
You could be right. I mean, how's Freddie Freeman's ankle? By the way, did you see
he's playing.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely playing, but he's definitely not right. Did you see the article yesterday about Ohtani maybe pitching? You see this?
Get the hell out of here.
I swear to God. I'm not messing around. He's been thrown from mound. And Roberts was asked about this. I missed it because we were so wrapped up. You know, the Yankees and the Mets, and even though it was the Mets they were playing, I just missed it. Missed this aspect of the interview. He was asked, I guess somebody asked him, is there any chance Ohtani could come out and get an out in game six, the bullpen game?
Okay.
And it was very quick. No, he's not ready yet. But he did say he's on a mound. He's progressing. There is a thought that Ohtani could come in and get an out or two if he has to. Can you imagine if he comes in against Judge?
I'm not a huge Ohtani fan. That would be insane.
It would be.
That would be insane.
Imagine if he comes in to face Soto and Judge.
Soto would take it deep.
Yeah, I know one of the two would do some damage.
Hopefully Judge is ready. He's a good pitcher. He's not a great pitcher.
I agree.
And that's part of my issue with him. Like, Ohtani himself seems like a nice dude. Obviously, he's a great baseball player, but I do feel like there's a little bit of overrating. Think about this. Would you rather have a great defensive shortstop, like Lindor, for example? If you had the offensive output that Ohtani has, is it more impressive to have that output combined with playing shortstop every day or being a pitcher? We've never seen it before. A position player or a pitcher who could hit like Ohtani, a DH. But it's actually more impressive to play short every day and do it at a high level.
It might be more impressive. What's more impactful? It might also be more impactful. I'm not saying it's not. Right. I'm just kind of
unique.
That's a very unique question, the way you framed it. I think my answer would depend upon whether or not he makes 32 starts, which he almost never does.
Right.
Like, if he was a sturdy, like a Garrett Cole, take the ball every day. Even if he was a number two and his ERA was like, low, mid-ish threes and, 200-ish strikeouts, not completely dominant, but really good, and he hit that way, I would say the hitting-pitching combo. But if he was like high threes, low fours, and he made 20-something starts versus playing shortstop, at a gold glove level caliber,
right?
I think the answer is his offense with Lindor's defense.
I think it's more unique than overly impressive.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
I think we just get caught up in, oh, my God, I've never seen this before.
Yeah,
but when you actually think about it, he's a DH the majority of the time. Okay, so he pitches one game. Big deal.
I know.
The other guys, what they do, and even Judge playing center field. Like, that to me is more impressive. All right, BT and Sal on the phone. We'll get back to your Knicks calls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll have Susan Waldman coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll have Howie Rose in the 1 o'clock hour at 125. So we'll have plenty of Mets and Yankees. Remember, World Series tickets to give away coming up on Friday. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned to the Fan all day long as the Yankees Game 1 World Series Friday night. We'll have tickets to give away Friday for Game 3,
yep.
I believe, when the series returns to the stadium on Monday.
I also meant to slide this in before. So Saturday, Joe B is going to be on from 10 to 1, his customary spot. I will jump on and I will host solo from 1 to 4. To get you further pumped up for the
Yankee
Yanks on a
hype
Saturday.
Train. We're going to be reacting to Game 1 and then getting pumped up about Game 2.
Choo-choo.
Yankee hype train. Here we go.
Choo-choo.
Hey, maybe I chose poorly. Maybe it pays to be a Yankee fan. Here I am. The Mets.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in out. No parade, no tickets, no shows.
Yeah, shows. A little extra show means a few extra bucks.
I know the feeling.
I mean a few. Trust me. If I had to drive to work, I'd probably be losing money on gas.
Yeah, let's get back to the calls. Mickey's in Connecticut. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
All right,
hey,
Nick.
Hey, quickly, I got a Knicks take, but as a diehard Mets fan, I'm 100%, and I've never done this before, but I'm 100% I'm rooting for the Yankees.
Why?
I can't stand L.A. So there's a few reasons. Reason number one is the way MLB has propped up L.A. this year has been absolutely unbearable. And
excellent point.
Yeah,
it really is an excellent point.
Like, in what way, though? I'm not saying you're wrong. In what way?
Oh, the Dodgers.
I mean, just look at the Mets series alone and how many times between the commercials and between them just talking. Even the broadcaster, I couldn't stand how much they just wanted L.A. They wanted L.A. to be there. Let's just put it. I'm not saying anything's rigged, but they wanted L.A. That's right. What Manfred wanted, and he got what he wanted. Second of all, you know, you got Ohtani. Ohtani was paid as a pitcher, a batter, and a stealer. If you're not pitching, of course you're going to have an amazing year like you did this year. And I'm sorry, Lindor is the MVP, not him.
But he's not.
Lindor's
he's not going to win it.
Games?
But he was a more valuable player.
But he is.
Yeah, he's
a real player.
Right. Ohtani played half the game. I mean, he's great at what he does, but he played half the game. What's more valuable? Somebody who actually plays defense or somebody who sits his ass in a dugout the majority of the game?
Exactly. And if you're pitching, there's a chance that you could get hurt, this, that, and maybe you don't even have the year Ohtani did. If you're not doing the number one thing you got paid for, you're not an MVP. Sorry. Now going to
Hold on. As much as I push back, I don't want to misrepresent that because we've had this conversation a few times, and I know what you mean. Like, the awards change so much that we know that Lindor has no chance to win it. But if you were to really truly just boil it down literally to value, I think it's fairly easy to make a case that, you know, what you just said is not wrong.
Yeah.
What's your next point?
And my next point is that, you know, the team got blown up, you know, let's be honest. So they're still meshing together. They're still learning together. You know, BT, earlier you said, you know, comparing to last year, but there's no way you could compare to last year because this is a different team. And if you look at the box score for that game yesterday, if they played any other team, they probably win.
And I'm not going nuts with this, and thanks for the call, but they were built to beat the team that they played last night. It's one game. I get it. Listen, I think there's a lot of things that happened last night that won't happen maybe again to a Knicks team all year from a defensive perspective, and that's the three-point prowess. Nobody's going to do that. 29 threes? out of 60 attempts.
It was almost an NBA record.
Yeah, but they were one away. You won't see that the rest of the year. However, that's less disconcerting to me because that will evaporate to that level. And I think what might prove to be a little bit too evasive for the Knicks and might be their fatal downfall this year is softness or a hole in the middle. And not just about Cats, that's about Towns. I'm not just saying about him or finesse, whatever. Offensive rebounding, a little chemistry dip, a little, and just the bench. Like, there's multiple things that have changed.
Yeah, I just love the fact that they got punched. Now, obviously, I wanted them to win, but I love the fact that they got punched in the mouth right out of the gate by the champs. All the hype, you can't let that stuff get to your head. And now it won't because of the way that they got spanked in Boston. There's no way now that the Knicks could think that they're better than they were or anything like that.
Yeah.
After that type of ass-whooping, you got to be thinking, uh-oh, we've got a lot of work to do. And I know Tibbs is the right guy to get that message across. That's why I think that there was more good from last night, plus Karl-Anthony Towns' inside-out game, the star. I think Bridges is going to be fine. I know people overreacting, saying his shot is broken. I'm with Josh Hart. That's not even. It's going to be a non-story. When the Knicks start to roll, you're going to see the difference in what star power they have versus just the heart and chemistry and toughness that they had a year ago.
But let me ask you a question. Like, why did the Knicks need to get punched in the mouth last night? Why did they need a wake-up call? Because to me, I always look at like the carryover from the previous year. Some of it's real. Some of it's a manufacturing of nonsense, whatever. But if I'm a Nick, if I'm Brunson, if I'm Hart, if I'm the guys that were here on and over whose season got taken away from them with the hamstring, I'm coming out breathing fire. And I'm laser ready. If I'm the new guys, Cat, if I am Bridges, I am fired up and laser locked in to make a first good impression. Why did they need a wake-up call?
I just think because of the hype.
It's not like they were the champions and they got a little content.
Right.
They got knocked off in the second round.
But this team has not accomplished squat together. It's a different team. They haven't accomplished anything together. And yet, we in the media, we as fans, talk about them as being a legit championship contender. They haven't done anything yet. That to me is wild.
You get. Do you think they read the headlines a little bit?
No, I'm just saying. There's no mistake in it. I think sometimes teams could read the headlines, believe that they're better than
they
are.
Like the Jets.
This was correct. This was a nice reminder that hey, and I'm not saying they did need that, and Tibbs wouldn't let them. Unlike Salah and Olbrich,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Tibbs won't let them, but it's a nice reminder. Right, this is a perfect coaching moment.
I don't look at it. Well, that I agree with that part about the coaching moment, and Tom Thibodeau's going to do the right thing. We see it a little differently, but yeah. You're not worried at all. Like you're not even slightly alarmed.
No,
the
not
optics.
Yet.
All right,
not yet.
What the answer?
Jeff is in Miller Place. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, bud.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Next point, I am not in any way worried. They need to gel. The Celtics were waiting for them. They wanted to make a point yesterday. Give the Knicks a little time. I remember when the Heat when LeBron first went to the Heat, they got killed in their first game, and I think they were 5-5.
I think they were 9-8 to start. Yeah, they were 9-8 to start through 17 with Spoelstra. Yep.
And then they beat up the league. Give them a little time now. And I look at this trade is. It was the trade to make. We trust what Rose is doing, so let's trust them. Tibbs.
Well, I mean, I trust him, but it doesn't. Hold on. I trust him. I don't know that I blindly trust him. I trust him. He's done a great job. He's one of the best executives in the city right now. Doesn't mean that he absolutely. Now, it doesn't mean that it's the wrong one. Doesn't mean that he absolutely made the right move with Towns. There was one button left to push. That's the button that they pushed. There's no other button to push. It better be the right button.
The one thing that I am worried about. Nothing to do with the Knicks, just at the Celtics. Yeah, if you ask me my gut feel from last night, I wasn't worried about the Knicks at all. I think the Knicks will be fine.
Yeah.
But I am worried about the Celtics being just unbeatably good.
Dude, they didn't have KP.
Yeah,
they didn't play.
I know. But they don't even need it. White, Brown.
Yeah, they're tough, man. They're good.
Tatum.
They're good. They're really
good. The coach, I love the coach. Mazzulla, he's great.
Yeah, I remember calling his games against St. John's when he played at West Virginia, Joe Mazzulla. I remember him well.
Jeez,
time flies.
If you're worried about anything for the Knicks, it would be that, I don't know if there was a move to make that could get them as good as the Celtics.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, here we go. A little 3RQ for you as we do every Wednesday at 11:40. Number one, would you take a fan of an opposing team to a game? Let's say you win those World Series tickets that we're going to be giving away on Friday.
Yep.
And you're a Yankee fan, and your buddy, who's a Mets fan, really wants to go. Whatever it may be, would you take a fan of an opposing team to a game?
If it was a Yankee-Mets Subway Series, I might. If it was like my best friend.
Ooh, you would.
I might. Like,
that's
if it's
a spot where I don't, that's where I'd probably go. I can't.
If it's one of my best friends and we've had this thing for, you know, years, you know, probably if it's, it was at my wedding, like that kind of friend, sure. But you got to roll with somebody who's wearing the same uniform. I mean, this, for the most part, is non-negotiable, unless it's very unique.
Let's say Yankees, Guardians.
Okay.
You've got a good buddy, best friend.
Guardians friend?
Yeah.
Nah, not happening. We're going with, I'm going with fellow Yankee fan, 100%. Or some, my son, or, you know, if I can get two more, my daughter and my wife as well.
I think it's a tricky thing because you want to, like, hang out with... Yeah, I've had this opportunity, knowing Patriots fans that I work with, when the Falcons were in the Super Bowl, like, if I was going to go, would I bring a Patriot fan? I'm like...
Well, like Ray Martell? Who's a Patriots fan?
Well, Dave Mandel is a big Patriots fan. He works at SNY. And we talked about it at the time. I decided to end up not going, and it's a good thing. But, like, yeah, in theory, it's cool. You go with your buddy, you go to the game. But, like, that type of game, postseason, or Phillies... fans, friends, like, would you really go to a game with an opposing team, a big game?
Of that magnitude, certainly not a standalone game like, say, a national championship in college hoops or football or the Super Bowl. In a seven-game series, maybe a little more inclined. But my answer, is, now, the more I think about it, the more resolutely, there's no way you could do this. Think about...
You and I, Subway Series?
you're different. It would be different with you. Like, that... That I could see me doing.
We'd probably
for the show.
And we would accept each other's
100%. I would say yes to that. And if it didn't go my way, I'd have to knock you out in the parking lot. No. The other thing, Sal, though, the problem is is like if you don't bring one of your own, you're gonna like say, I take a Dodgers fan with
me.
Judge hits a two-run home. Yeah, I'm dapping everybody up. We're going nuts. But then when you turn for the most meaningful exchange. He's not rooting for your team.
Or vice versa.
Can't happen.
You know, Ohtani hits a big bomb, and you're upset.
There you go.
And now he's going nuts, and it's like...
Yeah. Mm. And I know, and I wouldn't mock him if it's my best friend. We're not sitting there like nine-year-olds. But it's like, no, I'm not worried about being mocked in my own home. It's just about... That's got to be a moment of celebration. That's got to be an iconic moment of friendship where you connect, not look the other way.
All right, number two. How old do you think... I told you, I've been watching The Sopranos. I'm almost done. Season 6. How old do you think the character Tony Soprano was in season 6?
That's a great question because, boy...
I have the answer.
Okay, I figured you would.
Yes.
Okay, in season 6, the kids are all grown up. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, Meadows, I think, out of college at this point.
So she's about 24. The Italians, certainly back then. Carmella, you know, my mom got married young.
Right.
So I'm guessing she was on the younger side. I'm going to say the Tony... let's see. When I was 10, my dad was 30. I like to do the math that way. Tony's much older than that. I would say he's about 43.
Dude, that's a good guess.
Don't say he's in his 30s.
You know, he's a little bit older than that.
Okay.
But I was floored. He was 46 in season 6.
In season 6.
So
pretty close.
So I am 45.
Yeah.
And I still feel like...
Young?
Yeah, and he, not only by appearance, and he only died, I was looking at this, at what, 51 or something?
Yeah, he was on location. I think he was in Italy, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he was in Italy. Can you check out how old Gandolfini was when he passed away?
51 sounds right.
But, dude.
Was his age the same as the, in real life?
It would make sense, I guess, in accordance with that, but, like, think about, I was floored. I had to look it up. I'm like, no way, because he referenced it in the show, like, I'm 46 years old. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
46?
Yeah.
Tony Soprano, head of the mob, the family, the whole thing, Carmella, all the girlfriend, all the stuff, all that he did. 46? Like, I'm basically the same age. No way.
He squeezed a lot of fun into those 46 years.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Like, I do realize this.
Like, do you feel like you're older than Tony Soprano?
No, I feel like I project a lot younger.
Right.
Because so of what we wear... You know, like, I'm wearing green and white Nike Dunks today, right?
So because of how he looked?
Well, that's part of it. My dad didn't wear sneakers like that when he was 45. It's just different. Like, that culture is kind of, you know, I think our generation, unlike my dad's, and before that, I think we've kind of held on to, not hold on to just our styles. I think we've evolved, like,
right.
I don't know, whether it's hoodies, whether it's loose pants, it's not even coming up, golf attire, like, I think old, older or oldish, you know, 40s, 50s, that's not old, but, you know, You don't dress like old men anymore. Yeah. You just don't. The style, it's just the haircuts are different. The presentation's different.
And I guess 50s used to feel a lot older than it is now.
Yeah, like, no question.
I was actually floored by that. Good guess by you. I would have guessed easily, like, oh, at 50, 55, something like that.
Well, you know what didn't help him? The way he wore his hair. Now, back then, you weren't, now, I don't know if the Don's going to want to, he's going to really shave his hair. I know we can't wear shorts, but I don't know if you really shave the hair either like that. But back then, guys were still hanging on. And when you're hanging on and a little comb over or it's receding, you just look older.
Makes you look older.
Yep.
All right, last one for you. How long
do you... The Gumas keep you younger.
Juliette Barguilis. I was like, ooh, I got to amend this answer. I love her.
Yeah.
How long do you wait to ask somebody about a package that they were supposed to send you?
It's a good question.
Or that they said they were going to send you.
It's a good question. It's something that I'm obviously like waiting for, anxious to get, or is it something for
I went to the Red Bulls game a couple weeks ago.
I remember when you went.
Sammy hooked you up. Yep. Yeah, Sammy's like, I'm going to send you Red Bulls gear. Give me your address. Like a whole thing. I'm going to send you a package, whatever. And I'm like, all right, I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Free stuff, send it to the house, Red Bull stuff. I'll rock the gear on the air, whatever. 2 weeks, I haven't heard a peep from Sammy. So now do I reach out and be like, hey, what happened to the package?
You don't have to. You just said it on WFAN.
You know, dummy.
Now Sammy's running to his,
No, but is it okay? Like 2 weeks is a long time. He asked for the address. I didn't ask for it. He said he was going to send it. But in general, if somebody says, hey, BT, what's your address? I'm going to send you some stuff. Game changer. Send you some stuff.
I'm actually a game changer. This hoodie's sweet. Right, Nike.
So if he said he was going to send you some stuff, you don't get it for 2 weeks.
I wouldn't circle back to game changer. I use it all the time with the kids. Right. It's a great app.
Would you circle back to Sammy for the Red Bulls? They got the playoffs coming up.
No, but
up
I'll tell you, I have had a similar dilemma. Okay. So Maddie A, who is back at St. John's, right?
Yes.
He was there when I started doing the games in 04. He was a manager, and then he went to Iowa State. He bounced around. Like a great, great recruiter. Now he's the general manager for Rick Pitino. Now these teams have GMs,
right?
So he doesn't like recruiting. Like he's the money man, and he gathered. And he's great. Matt's awesome. Matt's a great dude. So he sent me a text about 2 weeks ago. Hey, what's your address? I need to send you some updated Nike stuff. Now, the St. John's Nike stuff is dope.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for it. So, I guess I don't have to send him a text since I'm saying it on the air. Hey, Maddie, wake up. Yeah. Where's my stuff?
Send some, by the way, to BT. I want to wear some St. John's
stuff. I said you need to get my crew some stuff so that they can wear some St. John's gear during the season as well.
Right.
So, Maddie, take care of them as well.
All right, there you go. Let's get back to the phones. That does it for 3RQ. Ray is in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, Sal, I'm not sure if you remember me. I was your resident postman that used to call you overnight when I could.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Ray? Hope all is well.
Yeah, all is well, Sal. I'm proud that you, and happy that you got the afternoon spot, man. I can't think of somebody else who deserves it more.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I remember that, even if we disagreed, because you're a Mets fan and I'm a Yankees fan, that's what he's going to happen. We always did it respectfully, and we had a good laugh with the guys that used to yell at. And I might have been the first one to say, hey, Sal, I love the passion and everything like that. Then all the other callers started jumping on board. But you know what? It's true, man. I greatly appreciate that passion. And the reason for my call today, gentlemen, is that even BT has disappointed me today because of the fact that he jumped on the train about the Yankees World Series of the past being perhaps tainted because of steroids, as if, 90% of baseball wasn't doing it and it was a playing field. Mm. Also, as far as the Mets are concerned...
Hold on a sec, Ray. Hold on one sec, buddy. Just answer yes or no. Was A-Rod ever implicated? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Was Roger Clemens implicated? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Was Andy Pettit? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Was Giambi? He was on the team at 03 when they got to the World Series. Okay. Was Kevin Brown and Grimsley and Mike Stanton and other Denny Nagel? The answer is yes.
Okay, the Boston Red Sox.
I know,
right? David Ortiz is implicated. Manny Ramirez is implicated.
I said that. Ray, I said that, bud.
So it's a level playing field. It's not the same thing as, but, and I'm not defending Cashman. He does need to get off of it.
Yeah.
But
but that's the point.
Thing as buzzers. And as garbage cans,
I agree.
It's totally different.
Yep.
And as far as the Mets are concerned, Marte is a known steroid user.
Yeah, but we weren't talking. And thank you for the call, Ray. And great to hear from you. Miss you.
You remember him?
I do remember Ray. Yeah, because he's asking about being a postman. Like, what's that like? You know, going, you know, where do you drop off the packages? Are you one of these guys who just throws it on the lawn? He would have some fun with that going through the overnight stuff. Yeah. And I appreciate his passion. But it's not about Mets versus Yankees. It's about Brian Cashman bitching about the Astros cheating. While it may be a different variation of cheating, mm-hmm. the Yankees still had players that cheated. And by the way, nobody's saying that those championships, at least you and I, aren't saying that those championships that the Yankees won are tainted.
No way.
But we're acknowledging that
it was part of the culture, and they partook.
I mean, Roger Clemens is one of, if not the biggest, certainly pitcher, to be associated with. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the great pitchers of the generation.
Yeah.
He's not in the Hall of Fame because he did PEDs. The Yankees traded for him. Brian Cashman traded for him, brought him in.
Yeah.
And he helped the Yankees beat the Mets in the World Series in 2000. Well, the Mets clean? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Like, odds are everybody was tainted, but
let me ask you this. Who was the best player on the 2009 Yankees? I know Matsui got the MVP. Why did they get there and win the World? Okay. You think A-Rod was juicing in 09?
100% so do I. End of story.
I mean, they don't win. At that point, they don't. If Alex Rodriguez doesn't do what he did, they don't win. I don't think that that's an irresponsible statement. Now, you need the other contributions as well. Swisher, Jeter, of course, CeCe, Burnett, got it. But if A-Rod's not A-Rod that year, they don't win. And I don't think he is A-Rod that year without some of the juice. Because and that's just the way it is. So it's not to minimize the Yankees' accomplishments, because everybody else or a lot of other people were doing it. All I'm saying is, Brian, you don't have to, like, that's it.
Right,
forget
over.
About the Astros. You're playing in a few days, and every other team but the Dodgers are not. Just enjoy the World Series.
All right, it's not about that. And it gets bothered by the 15-year thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.